Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Jeff, it's time to play the game. That wasn't very good. I'm Tom. All right. That's okay. I'm Tom. I'm with Jeff. This is The Payoff. Jeff, how the hell are you doing, my friend?
That's why other people make bigger bucks than we do to say shit like that. But that's all right. We're going to still have a good time with this one. I'm doing good, my friend.
That's Motorhead, right? That does it's time to play the game, right?
Yes.
Okay, thought so. I love Motorhead. Favorite band ever.
Right, yeah.
Are they like a big band?
Yes, they are.
I thought so, yeah. And Triple H is like friends with them and did some songs for them and stuff. And then they played his entrance a few times.
A couple times, yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And Jeff, before we get started, I will not try to guess which shows Motorhead played Triple H's music. You know why?
Why?
Because I'll get my ass chewed if I'm wrong on the days.
Yeah, we don't want to be wrong about that.
Jeff, we are now going to take a very conservative approach to any data that we present.
Yes.
Because we are being heavily scrutinized these days.
Two sources.
Be very, very careful. And I'm gonna listen to every word you say to make sure you don't say something wrong. And you do the same to me, please.
Two sources. You got it, buddy. Okay. Absolutely. So
we're gonna have more credibility. We're gonna fact check more than any other media that you consume in any walk of life. That's how careful we're going to be on The Payoff from now on.
That would be impressive as well. And where can you find all those facts and figures and all that good stuff? Our social media at Payoff Pod. Do you like that transition there? There you go.
I loved it. At Payoff Pod.
Make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen. Of course, we're always looking for those good, positive reviews. Spread the word about the show. We know a lot of us are sitting at home, you know, maybe not doing a whole lot or shoot job from home at this point. So whatever you're doing, or, you know, we know we got a lot of trucker fan base as well, too. You know, we appreciate everybody who's listening. But at Payoff Pod, you can always find us everywhere on that social media. So, Tom, this one, we're getting, you know, SummerSlam, 'tis the season, on the road to SummerSlam, whatever you want to say.
I think we need to keep doing this. Like, we kind of started to do it in year one. Now that we're in year two of The Payoff, we're starting to try to, you know, like, theme things. I think we fell into it with WrestleMania. It was like, oh, we just need to keep, what were some great matches after WrestleMania? Then it was, you know, before you know, it was the spring and some of those. So I love the idea of doing these like themes, and WWF, WCW, we're going to mix some TNA in there too. But I like that we're theming these things, because that to me is always fun, especially during WrestleMania. But think about it. What do we do during the Royal Rumble? We go and we watch some old Rumbles. Then it's like, oh, I forgot that title match happened on that Rumble card, and you watch that. And so I think we got to keep doing this, because it's a lot of fun, and it seems like, other people are doing it too, right? So it's like, maybe you'll see some highlights from some previous SummerSlam matches, and then it gets you in the mood. And then maybe Bruce and Conrad cover, you know, an old SummerSlam. And so it's just, I like that, you know, we're all kind of doing this. And in our little, you know, corner of the whole wrestling podcast world is really dissecting that one match from that one show. And I think we got to start doing it during that time of the year. Are you on board with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's one of those where we'll drop the occasional match in there too, because just like WWE, we got, you know, there's weeks to fill sometimes. And so, but, you know, we can hopefully find a little bit better content than they might be putting out there. And so don't want to talk too much about the current product.
Dude, anything is better than what is currently on TV.
Yes. And so, but we're going to talk about,
you and I could sit here and talk about, you know, boy bands for 2 hours. And I think it would be more interesting than what took place on Raw on Monday.
Yeah, there's one of those. And luckily we are focusing on, when I say wrestling was a little bit better, a lot better. Absolutely. So Tom, you know, of course we got the three parts, the build, the payoff, the aftermath. We bring it to everybody. But this one, you got The Rock, you got Triple H. How come this is one that you wanted to talk about?
So this was really only the third major ladder match that ever took place. And I don't know if you knew that or not, but you had, okay, of course, Bret Hart invented the ladder match. There were some previous ladder matches, but the first one in prime time, big stage, WrestleMania 10, Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon. Jeff, when we give historical data, talk slow and double check yourself to make sure that you're right.
Right.
So we had that one. Then we had the rematch, was it SummerSlam 95. Then this match. So this is only, you know, fast forward to 2020, and guess what? We have watched 1,000 ladder matches, maybe yeah. more than 1,000 ladder matches. But what you forget is in 1998, this was only the third ladder match on a big stage on television. I love that. And we're going to talk about this more during the match. This is one of the things I wanted to talk about. But this is that golden era where the IC title still meant something, but wasn't for much longer. So again, I wanted to cover this because Madison Square Garden, big stage, third big ladder match ever, two Hall of Fame legends, obviously. And it was for that IC title that really meant something. And I think that's going to be a fun topic for us to cover. What about yeah. you?
It had been a few years too. I'd say the last really big ladder match, it was SummerSlam 95. Of course, that was the ladder match, Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon. You also had, well, you know, and both of them, you know, you had Razor and you had two times. So, you know, coming into the SummerSlam, it had been a while and it really wasn't like that big a deal. And we'll talk about a little bit about why like the ladder match was a part of this. It actually did have a little spoiler here. It actually did have some meaning of why a ladder was being used. And so there was storyline that it made sense, which was great. And so, yeah, it's just one of those where, you know, nowadays, like you said, like, it's just such a, okay, it's, you know, Monday, we got a ladder match. Like, it's just, you know, there's tables, ladders, and chairs match, you know, the pay-per-view, you've got all these things. And so now, though, we've got that point where it didn't have the appeal in 1998 that it does now. Or not even but just the common usage, whatever you want to say, yeah.
And then the other issue you have now, too, is that when there is that theme of Money in the Bank, of Hell in a Cell, all you do is you just take whatever rivalry's happening and, oh, it's Hell in a Cell. We got to settle this in a cell. Well, we have to settle it in a cell because that's the theme of the next pay-per-view, not because the only way for us to settle this absurd, crazy feud is in a Hell in a Cell. I mean, how did the structure get built? Well, it got built because Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, wanted to kill each other. How are they finally going to be able to do it? How do you prevent Shawn from not being able to run and hide? We build this insane structure. And so I liked when, again, it made sense in the storyline for there to be a ladder match. I mean, as we sit here today recording this, you know, early August, guess what? You're probably going to get McIntyre, Orton in a Hell in a Cell. Why? Because they're starting the program now and they're probably going to continue it to then, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just versus saying, hey, this is the craziest rivalry ever and the only place to do it is the Hell in a Cell. It's just, that's just not the way it works. So anyways, right. Let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right. SummerSlam 1998, Madison Square Garden. The tagline for this show, Jeff, Highway to Hell. Do you remember the Highway to Hell video they put together that was mainly featured around Austin and Taker?
Yes, because of that being the main event. Yes, I do. I actually went back and watched it when I was doing my research. Yeah.
Was it as awesome as you remember?
Yeah. Yes. It holds up.
Yeah. Find it on YouTube. It was
we'll
really
share it this week. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a while, but I just remember it being awesome as well. So let me quickly run through the card. And then I've got a thought about the card that I want to share. Again, SummerSlam 98, second biggest show of the year, obviously Madison Square Garden. So we know that they're all in, they're going to try to make this an awesome card. We start out with a 15-minute European championship match between D'Lo Brown and Val Venis. 15 minutes.
There you go, man.
With all due respect to D'Lo Brown and Sean Morley, that doesn't scream hot opener in Madison Square Garden. And they went 15 minutes and it ends in a DQ. We don't even get a clean finish.
Yep.
Then we get a handicap match. We got the Oddities, Giant Silva, Golga, and Kurrigan. Okay. And they're accompanied by a whole bunch of people, including Luna Vachon. They defeated Kai and Tai. And Kai and Tai had four members. That's what made it a handicap match. So, okay. 10 minutes in that match. And by the way, you know who Golga was, right?
I don't.
You don't?
Which one was it? Earthquake? Yeah.
Yes. It was Earthquake.
Yes. Yes. Took me a sec, but I got there. Yeah.
So then we get X-Pac, who's being accompanied by Howard Finkel, defeating Jeff Jarrett, who was accompanied by the Godwins. And I don't know if they were known as the Godwins now or not, but hair versus hair match in 11 minutes. So we're off to one hell of a start in the SummerSlam. Then we get Edge and Sable defeating Jacqueline and Mark Merrow, mixed tag match, 8 minutes. Then it starts to pick up a little bit. We got Shamrock defeating Owen Hart. That was in a Lion's Den match. If I'm not mistaken, that I can't remember if that took place in the building or not. That might have been in the theater across the street, or maybe that was the original plan. I do not remember. If you had a chance to look it up, but I don't remember that. New Age Outlaws defeating the tag team champion at the time, Mankind. Mankind was by himself, no DQ, only lasted 5 minutes. So then we get to the final two matches. Triple H and The Rock, Intercontinental Championship. And then we had, and that would go 26 minutes, which we're about to watch. And then in the main event, Steve Austin, who's your champion, defeated The Undertaker, 20 minutes. Famously, I don't think either man was happy with that match. And to be honest with you, obviously two of the all-time greats, you might have one or both on your Mount Rushmore of wrestling, but guess what? The two of them, it was oil and water, man. They just never really had that great match or great chemistry, even from a storyline standpoint. So, Jeff, we talk about this card. I've said it before. I'm sure others have said it before, maybe not, but I know I have. In some ways, at some times, the Attitude Era was extremely overrated, and we absolutely romanticize it. I'll hang up and listen to your comment.
Yeah, and I know.
This show sucked!
Yeah, and we've talked about it off air too. And there was very high highs and extremely low lows. And especially too, like some of these cards that we've talked about, and part of like why we share the card, like the talent on this card shouldn't have like given us some of this crap that we had to watch. Because there is a lot of big names on this card. You had Edge, you had X-Pac, you had Ken Shamrock and Owen Hart. Like, you know, you like really the last five, six matches all had like half the card had really good people on it. But man, for whatever reason, it just didn't come together.
Well, it's interesting too on the and the dark matches, you had Too Cool, you had LOD 2000, but it was still LOD, Animal and Hawk. They were accompanied by Draws. You had Gold Dust, Bradshaw, Vader. I mean, so then, and then obviously all the guys we talked about on this card. This just, it was not, I mean, again, I'll give it to them that there were a lot of storylines, there were a lot of things happening. At least it was better than now, where there's so much wrestling we watch that it's just two guys killing 12 minutes to fill a segment on Raw or to handle a match on the pay-per-view. So I will give them that there was a lot of storylines and a lot of things happening, but dude, this just absolutely sucked. So
agreed.
Couple other things going on in the wrestling business. I'll tell you what's funny. They, you know, Shawn Michaels, obviously at this point's retired, and they said, you know, there's no chance there's little chance he's going back in the ring. He's retired, but he's a bad announcer. They want him to get back in the ring. Jeff, how funny is it? What if I would have told you in 1998, hey, in 7 years, Shawn Michaels will be wrestling again at SummerSlam, and he'll be doing it against Hulk Hogan?
Right.
So just kind of crazy. But
if we had a nickel for every time a wrestler retired, you know?
Yeah. But it's just crazy that, you know, that he was out of it at this point and, you know, doing a poor job announcing. It's also funny too. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I guess they were talking about, hey, there might be another Saudi show in the fall. And I was like, it's funny how like, nothing being on television right now, or there being no audience right now on television, we've been deprived of like any legends coming back. Like, you know, Taker's not walking into the Performance Center again. You know, Goldberg's not coming back unless there's a big Tay Day. You ain't seeing Lesnar anytime soon, right? Unless Vince is in a real pickle and has to call on a favor. It's just funny how, I mean, Triple H, obviously, you know, you go down the list of guys that they're not getting anywhere near this, and they probably won't the rest of the year. So, and Edge is out. So there's just not a lot of the legends floating around like there often are. And the last thing, you know, I caught this in the Torch, you know, they're just talking about how, and I made this point earlier, this is really only the third big ladder match. There was a ton of pressure on Hunter and Rocky Maivia at this point to put on a killer match because of that. And keep in mind, neither of these guys are made men at this point. So this was like, all right, look, second to last match, IC title, Madison Square Garden, ladder match. You guys are either stepping up and you're showing you're the future of the company, or you're going to really screw this thing up. So there was a lot of pressure on this match. So storyline standpoint, how do we get to this this match?
Yeah, and we'll see a lot of comparisons through some of the comments and the reviews after, like what this was trying to live up to. But this is one. So you've got, it was actually D-Generation X that was In Your House, of course, the fabled In Your House series, December 1997. Remember, the SummerSlam is the summer 1998. You had Stone Cold, who actually beat The Rock. It was a quick match, and he retained the Intercontinental title. But the next night, though, you had Austin, you know, being told that he has to be in a rematch, but instead forfeiting the belt to The Rock and giving it to him. Of course, though, hitting the Stone Cold Stunner on the way out as he have to, but that is how The Rock first came into possession of that Intercontinental title. So the previous month, though, you had, it was actually, well, previous month, I say July 1998, another fully loaded In Your House. The Rock, who was the champion at that point, and Triple H, the two of them actually had a 2 out of 3 falls count match. It was actually a no contest. It was a 1-to-1 draw. They went 30 minutes where they couldn't, you know, get a winner, which of course, screwy finish, you know, it's the theme of the day. So they continued actually to have a little bit of, I say a little bit of a rivalry for like that whole time. Now, something else too, when we say The Rock and Triple H, this was at a point too where you had The Rock being a part of the Nation of Domination and Triple H being a part of D-Generation X. And so,
you saw the rumors they're going to like bring it back, right? Or they're going to do it.
Yeah, and they're worried about how it's going to be taken with like the current climate or whatever it was. Yeah,
political. And I think two things can be true. I think if they would have brought it back, it would have been edgy and really, really good. I think if done right, it could have been awesome, but I also think it would have been a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I wouldn't touch it, but I think the idea and, you know, in different times of doing something like it, because dude, you know, Farouk was awesome. It gave Godfather something to do. It elevated D-Lo. It was the reason The Rock had a reason to come back and be a badass heel. Like there was a lot of, and it was just that faction era where there was a lot of stuff going on. So you and I both agree. We love factions. We love the idea of getting guys the rub. So it's just a shame, but yeah, it's probably not the right time for it.
And this is one. And so at this point, and there had been a lot of different members of the Nation of Domination, you know, a lot of, you know, we like Farouk is the leader, really until The Rock kind of took that over. It was right in this period in 1998, the middle of it. But you also had D'Lo Brown was a part of it. You had the Godfather, like you said, The Rock running the show, Mark Henry as well, who, you know, Mark
totally
Henry
forgot about Mark Henry.
Mark Henry was actually
Owen Hart was in it,
this match. And then at this point too, Owen Hart had actually joined as well too. And so, I mean, big names being a part of that. And so that's something to kind of, you know, think about when we talk about, like, so you had them, but then you also had Degeneration X. So the two factions kind of going back and forth, you know, again, my love of factions, I don't hide that at all. I think that's something that, you know, it pays off of that. So what you had though was, you know, August 17th. And so this was just like really 2 weeks, 3 weeks or so before this SummerSlam occurred on Raw. You had Degeneration X and the Nation of Domination. It was a street fight. The Nation won, but this was because, and this speaks to like how the ladder got involved, The Rock hit Triple H with a ladder and he started to bleed. And so that was like kind of, I say, what started the idea of the ladder match. But like really right after that match, Triple H challenged The Rock to a ladder match at SummerSlam for the Intercontinental title. So it's very quick, I say, the build for this match itself and the stipulation. But these guys had been feuding for quite a while, and as you'll see, they kind of kept feuding after this as well too. And so when we're discussing the build, there was a lot with it. But this match, it was 2 weeks out, we got the stipulation, but these guys had a little bit more of like the faction storyline happening too. So it was a week later. It was Sunday Night Heat, of course. I know, Tom, avid watcher of Sunday Night Heat, as you are, I'm sure you remember it, that The Rock accepting the challenge. It was August 23rd. I find, you know, we talk about, you know, long builds, short builds, all this other stuff. Overall, for like getting this stipulation, very quick build. Like, we got it in 2 weeks. You know, while there may have been, you know, the kind of at the seams, you know, these guys kind of fighting each other and everything, the stipulation itself of the build didn't come together until very late and very close to this match. But it did have a little bit of a reason, because The Rock using the ladder as a weapon and things like that, so it made sense. So Tom, your thoughts on the build though?
Love it, right? I just, there's so much there that I love. I love the factions. I love the back and forth. It gave you so many different varieties. I mean, just think about now how, you know, so much of it is just person A and person B bump into each other and catering, and now we have a feud. It's just there's so much more depth to these stories, and you can get so much more out of them when you've got the factions and you've got some history. You know, it's just, it's so much better. So like that, you know, as much as I didn't like the card, I did really like the build to this match, and it made a lot of sense. Yeah. So if you want to watch along with us, WWE Network, 1 hour and 45 minutes into SummerSlam 98. Again, that's 1 hour and 45 minutes into SummerSlam 1998. Jeff, are you ready for the payoff?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. You're ready. And Hacksaw is ready. Let's get to the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
All right, dude. Here we are, hour and 45 minutes into SummerSlam 98. Just held up the belt. Rock's in there. Henry's cheering him on. Chana's in there looking like a freaking animal.
The first thing, is there any memory that stands out to you of this setup of the garden? In this, for those of you not watching at home, we have the entry is, I say, opposite camera side. So you're looking at the entryways. Is there anything that, you know, your thoughts on that type of setup? I know, you know, the more recent product has changed to this, you know, feelings on just kind of the setup and, you know, memories of this type of entry.
I always liked it because it was so different. It's like you knew you were at the garden. I mean, I remember WrestleMania 10. There was I can't remember the year, maybe 1995 Survivor Series. But I, you know, just remember, I mean, the Royal Rumble where Cena came back, the Taz coming out for the Royal Rumble and beating Kurt Angle. You know, so there's some really good memories there. Triple H and Mankind had a great match at Royal Rumble with that entrance. I think that was the same show that the Hardys and Dudleys had a great table match. So yeah, a lot of great memories from this. I mean, obviously the garden, you're always going to get, you know, a really big show and really big stuff. I love this entrance, and I always, I don't know. I just always thought it was so much different, and I guess you probably couldn't replicate it even if you wanted to other places. Maybe you could build something similar.
But. I forget too. Have you been to the Garden for a show?
Oh, well, never for a wrestling show. I used to go for the Big East basketball tournament. I probably went 6 out of 7 years, like end of high school through college. And then even when I graduated, so I'd go, and just went to, 4 games a day for a couple of days in a row. And then there'd be the semis the night before and the finals and the Garden being right in the city. But I mean, it's not a spectacular building, but it's just, it's cool because of the Garden. And it's more of just what's around it, the whole city. They did renovate it. I have not been there since they renovated it. That being said, I was going to go to New York City in May, but our trip got canceled because all this bullshit. And we are going to go see Billy Joel at the Garden. Tickets were like very reasonable. And I was like, that actually would be kind of fun. So I was bummed about that. So
I've seen too, I don't know if you caught in the very opening of this match, like when they were kind of jawing at each other, like Brock was straight up calling him a motherfucker. I don't know if you caught that one at the very beginning of the match
here. I did not.
You could tell, not a perfect lip reader here, but he was definitely dropping some F-bombs on that one. I find it funny too. Like at this point you've got Mark, like you said, Mark Henry is ringside and so is China. Mark Henry actually looking, I'll say somewhat thin. He's not the typical big man that we're used to seeing. And this is kind of his strongest man type days. I'm not sure exactly where that lines up with that, but China looking just as jacked as Mark Henry though.
That's true, right?
Like scary. But I remember like being a kid though, and like she was scary as fuck. Like she was one like you. She was the type like she would kick your ass. Like and you like would not be shy about yes, she would absolutely beat you. And I think it's interesting too, like we've talked about it on previous shows too, like when we were saying Brett before I say Brett was Brett, some of his like his singles competition, like we've talked about on previous shows, this is really like Triple H and The Rock really before they were really Triple H and The Rock.
You know what Brett did, right?
Huh.
Brett screwed Brett.
Well, yeah, we all know that, but
you're right. This is neither. I mean, you forget. That's the thing is like, I was doing my prep for the show. I'm like, wait, The Rock was still in the Nation. He was like, you just forget about that. I mean, this wasn't even like corporation world champion, Rock headlining WrestleMania against Stone Cold. This is still 6 months prior. And Triple H took even longer to really blossom into his own. So yeah, neither of them, these are IC level guys at this point.
Because DX hadn't even been around for a year at this point. Like they started, it would have been October of 97.
It's crazy.
And then you did have like, some of these guys joining through, like Road Dogg and Billy Gunn didn't join until March of 98. And so even DX as a stable itself, I say the stable that we know it, and a lot of people kind of, how they associate it with X-Pac, Road Dogg, Billy Gunn, all them joining. And we've covered that match. Go back in the archives, check it out. We're starting to use the ladders as well too on this one. Like they were really getting going, just people, and same with The Rock. Like he was not like the Nation of Domination had been around for a little bit, but The Rock wasn't the leader of the Nation. You're right. He like over so much time, like people associate.
He eventually became leader of the Nation of Domination. And then he eventually, I guess it would have been in November, became the corporate champion as the big heel. But yeah, I mean, it's early on in these guys, real main event status.
Yeah. And it was like the tank event had happened. Like they did invade WCW. So like, there were some things that were happening. So you got The Rock now setting the ladder up. They use the ladder on the outside a little bit, taking the slow climb up. Here we go. And then Triple H kind of going after him. Oof. Oh, that hurt. The ladder falling on Triple H after he fucking goes after him. Just painful. But yeah, that's one of those. But, and The Rock too, like this was, we've always said like Intercontinental Belt should be like that mid-tier kind of to elevate guys. And like you said at the start here, like these were those guys. Like they were trying to establish who was going to be the next guys at this time.
Oh, you're absolutely right. So here's what I was curious about. When did the Intercontinental title stop mattering?
Oh boy.
I was curious. So I pulled up a list of every Intercontinental champion. Okay. So at this point, the IC titles still matter. And I mean, I certainly don't need to go through every name, but you know, some of the names that we think of Randy Savage and the Warrior and Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, and
Razor,
Shawn Michaels, yeah. Razor, Bulldog, Diesel briefly had it, and that was obviously a stepping stone to the world title. Jeff Jarrett, Goldust, Ahmed Johnson, Mero, Triple H, The Rock, Owen Hart, then Steve China. Austin, which was really important. But again, in 97, 98, I mean, it still really meant something.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is as I look at this, Jeff, it stopped meaning something really soon after this. So Triple H would hold it for a while. Ken Shamrock had a run with it, actually a pretty long run with it. Then it went downhill fast. Your 50th champion ever, as of February 14th, 1999, Val Venus. Okay, Val Venus, I get. Road Dog singles, Godfather. And it's just flipped around over and over. Edge, Jeff Jarrett a couple times. D'Lo, Jeff Jarrett again. China, Chris Jericho. I mean, Angle, Benoit. Okay, so now they're using it again in 2000. Okay, it's kind of hanging on. Eddie Guerrero, Jericho, Triple A, 2001. And then it's just, like Albert and Lance Storm, Edge, Christian, Edge, Test, Edge, Regal, RVD, it's just kind of, and then it's just flip-flopping. My point to all of this is, it wasn't a fast decline, but it just flipped so much that, it just lost its luster, man. And then I'm now in 2006, 2007. It's just flipping to a bunch of people. It means nothing. I just really miss it. And it wasn't long after this where we lost the whole, you become IC champ, then you become world champ. And I still to this day miss it because, look at that Drew McIntyre WrestleMania moment. And granted, it was empty arena, but it meant something because the guy finally became world champion. We don't have those moments enough anymore because there's not this like natural ladder of progression anymore. It's just, what's the point of AJ Styles being Intercontinental champion? There is none.
Yeah. And good usage of the ladder reference there as well too. You've got too, The Rock using, nobody really trying to climb the ladder except the one attempt, but you got The Rock using a steel chair now and Triple H's leg is pinned in the ladder. But to your point too. Yeah. And and kind of looking at it, like some of those, I say early title reigns too, they were very long. Like, they were guys, and part of it is, and we've talked about like belt bloat, before, of just like, there's too many belts. There's just kind of too many, it's hard to kind of tell the story with those things. I'm with you of like, what are you doing with it now? But, and there were some of those guys in there that, did it, looking back in retrospect, did they need to win it to elevate them? Probably not. Like, cause I remember too, like a lot in there, like, Jeff Jarrett had the belt a lot, I remember. But he never had it for a very long time. And should it be one of those belts? And maybe it's just part of like, kind of looking back and, it's some of the numbers, like, are you really building the star and really doing what you're supposed to be doing? If somebody has a belt for a month, like, is that really enough time to kind of build someone into something?
No. And the more you water down the belt, the less it means. The whole point, look, there's kind of like two schools of thought, right? One is championships mean something and the other means it's a prop, or the other side is it's a prop. The further you can get towards championships meaning something and the further away you can get from them being a prop, the better. But man, right now, they feel like props. It feels like, oh, who's carrying this prop around? Oh, Sasha Banks is. Oh, Bailey is. Oh, they've got a couple props. Oh, McIntyre's got that prop. Oh, Strowman's got that.
Right.
You look at Braun Strowman, you're like, he is the world champion right now. He carries himself like a world champion. He has matches like a world champion. Hell no.
Right.
Hell no. So that's my issue.
And I remember, like, because this is when I was getting back into wrestling after taking, like, I had, like, Cody Rhodes having it. And, like, you know, what came of that? Like, they ended up shitting all over him with that. And so, you know, at the end of the day, he had some good things in there here and there. But it's one of those where, you know, Shelton Benjamin had it for a long time, too. But, like, again, like, you know, other than taking the best super kick ever on the planet from Shawn Michaels, like, or worst if you're him, like, you know, it's just one of those where, yeah, it's hard. And that's good. And I think that's something to kind of go back and look at. And maybe, you know, let us know Twitter, like, you know, when did this, you know, when did it happen? Like, you know, when did it, you know, become like this match that just, you know, it just didn't, or when did it become this title that just didn't matter almost?
Yeah. And I'm saying it was probably about 99. It was about 99 when it just stopped. So when I say Intercontinental Champion, what wrestler comes to mind for you?
The first name that popped into my, and I said it, like, Razor. Like, he's the first one that pops into my mind when, you know, I think of, like, who do I associate the Intercontinental belt with? I think, like, Warrior is another one, too. I know verboten, but, you know, Chris Benoit had it for a long time, too. And, like, I remember that. Like, Jericho had a few runs with it. You know, and some of these guys in here, but I always, like, Razor is who I associate the belt with the most.
Okay.
And I get, like, Pat Patterson is, like, the, you know, Intercontinental Champion of all time and things like that. But, yeah, this is just one of those where him and a Warrior a little bit too, but, like, you know, for me, it's Razor.
It's not that he was the best, but for me, it was Mr. Perfect. And he was, like, you know, one of the first ones when I was a kid watching, but, you know, Mr. Perfect was just that prototypical. He had great matches. You knew he wasn't Hulk Hogan. You knew he wasn't, like, that high up, but I don't know. I always dug Mr. Perfect as Intercontinental Champion. I thought he was, like, the perfect Intercontinental Champion, but I really did think he was. So
I think we've got kind of a good analogy here. So with Triple H just going for the pedigree and then Rock flipping him over, they're using one ladder in this match.
That's a really good point.
When we think of a ladder match nowadays, what, you've got a 10 footer, you got a 6 footer, you know, and you've got at least 3 or 4 of them. There's usually one big 15, 16, 18 footer, whatever it is, depending on what Jeff Hardy needs to jump off of. Like, it just kind of depends, or Shane. Now we got a second ladder in there as well, too. Thanks to Mark Henry, Svelte Mark Henry. Less is more. What are your thoughts?
I agree. The problem is, for the last 15 years, everyone's tried to top everyone else. Well, they had 4 ladders. We're going to have 6 ladders. Oh, they had a 10-foot ladder. We're going to have a 15-foot ladder. You know, at some point, there's only so much you can do. And guess what? The reason that we love pro wrestling, the reason that our favorite moments are our favorite moments, are because the characters. And when the booking sucks like it does now, none of this shit matters. You know, a guy jumping off a ladder doesn't matter if you don't care about the guy. 6 ladders in the ring doesn't matter if you don't care. But if you look at this and you're like, gosh, you know, Triple H, man, like, he's finally out of Shawn Michaels' shadow. You know, he's been in the hunt for a while. Nation of Domination keeps screwing him. Can he, at Madison Square Garden, finally, you know, become the Intercontinental Champion as this DX leader, good guy? Like, you're glued to it. So, you know, again, it's more about the characters and you caring and getting wrapped up in the story than it is about how many ladders and all that. So, yeah. And you'll see it from the crowd.
Well, and I don't want to overlook the fact the forearm shot that China dropped Mark Henry with on the outside. And then again, Triple H, there's a sliding kick into the ladder, into the Rock who was standing outside. I haven't seen that in a long time. Yeah, I'm with you. And I think that's one, like in our shoot jobs, you know, you and I, we do a little, you know, recruiting and things like that. And, you know, one of the lines we've used, you know, before is like, you know, people get behind people. They don't get behind, like, you know, the event, if you will, or kind of the party or whatever it might be. I think that kind of speaks to this as well too. Like, you're going to get behind the character. Like, these guys, like, the match itself has not been phenomenal to this point. You got a bloody Rock at this point though. He's got some good cuts on him. You know, when he did it, when he went outside, but this is one too, where like you can get behind these people. I think that's, you know, where a lot of the wrestling gets lost, is we're not watching it for the crap that's out there. Like, you know, give us characters, and actually real characters that, you know, living in the world that we are now, of like the realism age or era, whatever it is, of like, they're on Twitter. Like, you know, people have seen Braun's Tinder. Like, you know, like, give us something that we can get behind and things like that. I think that's part of why, you know, you and I like the Fiend as a character, but man, did they shit on that. And so you know,
I just noticed Mark Henry's just wearing a sweater vest, which in and of itself is pretty funny, but a sweater vest with nothing underneath it, not a t-shirt, not a collar.
Is that what it was? I thought it was like workout tee.
No, it's a sweater vest.
See, only Mark, and this is long before the
Sandman only he
suit.
Can pull that like, off. I'd
yeah,
love for
pulling it off, right.
But I'd love for you to try. And, well, I'd love you guys, to see you in a sweater vest with nothing else underneath it.
China in a sports bra, yeah, just crazy. So Rock setting up the ladders here again as well, like, you know, for the spots. And this is one too, like, so much with like the multiple ladders, so much of it is spot set up too. Like, you and I, like, we, you know, if they're setting a ladder up and it's stretched from like the ring to the guardrail, at some point somebody's going through the ladder. There's going to be a fake out spot, and then somebody's going to, you know, go into that ladder, like, plain and simple. Rock planning Triple H with the DDT there. And that's a great shot of him kind of picking his head up a little bit, and just, he is dripping blood at this point. And so, it just got both guys laid out in the ring at this point.
Do you miss Blade Jobs?
They're appropriate at certain times. Like, I think knowing what we know now, it's very difficult for me to get behind some of that stuff. Like, you and I have said, like, watching some of these chair shots and old matches, and like, you know, this match isn't too brutal in kind of what they're doing, but like, you know, I think that there is a storyline way that it can be used, and, you know, but at the same time, like, no, we don't need to see it every week. And, but yeah, if you're swinging a ladder around at somebody,
they were doing it every pay-per-view back in the day, man. They were doing it every,
yeah, absolutely.
At least once.
It would all be TVMA nowadays. Yeah.
You know, what's weird is like the blood doesn't bother me. Like, if they still did it, I mean, fine, whatever. The chair shots to the head, I cringe, man. I'm like, what the hell were we doing back then?
Well, and that's why it's so, when Cody was taking him not too long ago in AEW, that's why it's just so shocking, I say, because knowing what we know now and like him taking full on chair shots, like, yeah, that shit's fucked up nowadays. It's simple. So
I don't, yeah, man, it's like, and then you get into it and you're like, all right, I know why he's doing it. It's obviously for entertainment and for like, hey, the shock factor, but it's like, man, should you be doing that now? Like, is that like irresponsible? I don't know. Yeah. But man, it was brutal.
But you and I are not going to miss football every weekend either. So, you know, we're, you know, who are we to, so you got China now trying to slip Triple H a chair, not, you know, hiding it at all. The ref, you know, trying to stop her. The Rock, you know, and so the one big chair spot I'll say was, they've got the ladder draped from one side of the ropes to the other in the corner, and Rock pushed him off into the ladder, which nowadays, like, that'd be just like a common spot in the middle of a match.
Yeah.
And so this one, and then they got the Rock holding the ladder in front of him, and then Triple H coming down on the chair with him. So I had forgotten about the chair shots on the, I had not watched this one in a while. And so, and I'd just forgotten about the chair getting involved. So we had a tables and chairs match long before this was a thing. So
do you prefer Triple H with the long pants or with the shorter pants?
I prefer Trunks. Triple H with the long hair versus the short hair. Well, so, obviously. But that's just me, you know, whatever. I'm indifferent to it. I guess I'm more the hair, you know, like bring back the long hair and get rid of the beard, maybe. I think that'd be a funny look. I'm sure he can't grow the hair, but, you know, who knows? You know, don't let him know that, because if that's not true and then he tries to kick my ass, I don't want that. But, you know, so The Rock slamming, yep, Triple H down onto the ladder again. I probably like the more biker, you know, crazy Terminator Triple H more. He's going for the people's elbow. We got some crowd action here. Tom's searching for the line. That's right. Yeah. So a little bit of a roar there. And so, and that's one. And this is, these guys, this is one where, yeah, I think we got a little bit of blood on Triple H on the side there too. I don't know if that's just from The Rock, which again, I've talked about it before, the superhuman ability for these guys to stop bleeding in the middle of the ring. All the adrenaline and everything, I'm sure that's part of it. So, we'll talk about the review of the match. It's been, I say, fairly slow. There's been a couple ladder spots, but for the most part, like it's been kind of plodding a little bit is the best way to say it. So Triple H trying to climb at this point. We haven't had many attempts to climb in this one too. I feel like nowadays as well too, you get 100 different attempts and fake outs and false finishes and all this other stuff. But now catching Triple H as he tries to jump off, and there is the Rock bottom. Yep.
That's cool. I like that. Struggled a little bit with it, but I like it.
He got it, but both men laid out, not able to get up. So good stuff. China just looking scary.
All right. If I ask you an honest question, will you give an honest answer?
Sure.
What'd you think of Playboy China edition?
No, thanks.
I thought it exceeded expectations. Put me in the pleasantly surprised category.
I do remember, like, and that was speaking to the era. I do remember they would sell the shit out of that on Raw. Like they would
sold more copies whenever, I mean, her, Sable, Tori, I mean, a bunch of them were in it. I forgot how many. Sunny should have been the first one, but she turned it down.
Well, I was going to say, you can't find her nowadays, too.
Hey, is she locked up right now?
She said, last I checked, yes, she was still locked up.
And how stupid is it considering she was actually killing it on OnlyFans?
What did we say? She was probably making like...
tens of thousands of dollars a month.
Minimum. Yeah, we thought it was like $300,000 a year or something like that.
Oh, yeah. From only her OnlyFans account.
I still vividly remember like Jerry Lawler, and there's the pedigree onto the Rock, getting the big
still a great move, man. Still a great move.
Yeah. Like Jerry Lawler, like having the, the issue in front of him and him like, you know, screaming about like puppies and all this other stuff. Like you could never get away with it nowadays, but just funny as hell, like, you know, what they could get away with back then.
Oh, powder in Triple H's face, courtesy of Mark Henry.
That was good. Yeah, look at him. Triple H blinded right now, trying to find his way back.
He must have had that hidden under his sweater vest.
Sometimes, man, yep. You just never know. But still climbing, though. Still trying to get up to the top with it in his face. But The Rock climbing up the other side, if you will, as well, too. The two guys, yep, going at it. This is one too. It's just one of those, and we're going to talk about it in a minute here, but the Rock, you know, oh, and here you go. China getting involved with the low blow and The Rock falling off the ladder. Yep. There it is. Legal in this situation. So she can do it. And the crowd on their feet at this point too, as I think they realize what's about to happen. Waiting for it to swing back his way. That's kind of funny. Oh, but The Rock and big pop from the crowd. Huge Everybody's
pop.
Up.
That's yep. a huge pop, man. See what I mean?
Yeah.
If they care about the characters and the build's great and you're invested in it and you make the championships mean something, guess what happens? The place goes nuts. That's the difference, man. That's the difference is when you care about the characters.
they go nuts. Otherwise, oh yeah, a guy got a title. There's DX in the ring. That's cool.
DX showing up. Yeah. Just celebrating with Triple H in the ring. Good stuff. So, ready to get into the aftermath, my friend?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Jump into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right, dude, initial thoughts.
It was all right. I think I was hoping to be a little bit like more impressed with the kind of spots, but I guess that just kind of shows the evolution of kind of what we get now versus what we had then. I still think that it was still a good match though overall, but maybe have what, three or four spots, I guess, with the ladders, and then not a ton of wrestling. I don't think there was a single hold at any point really. But you know, overall it was a good match. Like, you know, between two guys, you know, I can't, you know, overlook the fact that it was young. I say young in their careers, which, you know, in your career spans 20 plus years, like this would be young in it. So yeah, not bad overall though. Your thoughts?
I think this is a classic example of one of those matches we remember being better than it was because it took place in a big stage, SummerSlam. It was in an iconic arena, the Garden, and the crowd went nuts because, you know, obviously they really cared about Triple H and winning the title. So my point to that is I think, you know, there's WrestleMania matches that weren't that great, but they're far more remembered than the better match they had it Fully Loaded 3 months later. Right. So yeah. I it was good, but I think it's one of those SummerSlam, Triple H gets crowned IC champion, place goes nuts. What a great moment, but was it a great match? So
yeah.
All right. Absolutely. Let's talk aftermath. Let's talk reviews. Let's give our payoff score and let's get this show on the road.
So as you could see, you had after, you know, Triple H beating The Rock in this one, he actually like had to take some time off. He had hurt his knee. And so, you know, again, like injury just kind of hurting everything. So he had the belt for a little bit, couple months, but then had to give it up at that point because of the injury. What you had though then is Vince really stripping Triple H of the title and setting up a tournament. It was actually the finals of that one, where's Ken Shamrock beating X-Pac to become the new Intercontinental Champion. So, taking a little bit of time off though, yeah, Triple H really came back before the end of the year, that 1998, still with X-Pac reuniting, kind of help X-Pac as he was getting beat, getting beaten up by Shamrock and the Big Boss Man, kind of reignite. So helping his Degeneration X partner, but then refeuding or going back to his feud with The Rock as well too. At this point, you also had Rock being, you know, part of the corporation and them actually moving up a belt, you know, getting called up, kind of going at each other for the WWF Championship. Interesting though, The Rock actually and Mankind were actually the two that, and I say in, you know, late or really, early mid 1998, it was The Rock and Mankind that were kind of trading the championship back and forth for about 6 months. I think like they each had it at least two times. And so just kind of, I say hot shotting it in a little bit, but you also had though, you know, The Rock going out to have that feud, but Triple H, you know, challenging Ken Shamrock for the title as well too. And so that feud kind of continuing, he didn't win the belt. He won the match, but it was DQ. And so didn't get the belt. But just kind of interesting, they kept playing up that angle as well too. And so, and then you had, you know, DX and the corporation feuding with each other. So just, you know, a lot, again, factions kind of going back and forth, you know, and everybody kind of playing that way. And really it was, you know, going into this, The Rock and being a part of the Nation of Domination was really considered to be the heel. But then after this, and a story for a different day, after this is when he started being, you know, the people's champ, where he started feuding with McMahon, you know, also being allies and kind of having all that. And so this was really the start of The Rock, you know, coming up from that, if you will.
But then remember, he turned heel in November.
Right. And so it's just kind of, yeah.
It's just how fast things happen, especially back then.
So these guys, so again, it, from a storyline point, it made sense with all the feuds that kind of kept going and what they were doing. And they obviously, like, The Rock was the destined to go on to in Triple H too, but like in the immediate, The Rock was the one that was winning the championship, going back and forth with Mankind, all that stuff. So thoughts on these guys' careers, Tom? You think, have they accomplished anything since 1998, would you say?
Yeah, and I'm this may be unpopular with some people, but I honestly believe that both these guys should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. You know,
two legends, take, man.
Like, be careful there, but yeah. And so, yeah, you know, the first time balloter, you know, like, what the hell? So, it's just one of those things. So, you know, where are we at though with the kind of reviews on this one?
I will say one thing is neither of them were who they became. I'd say probably especially Triple H. I mean, He just lacked that badass Triple H. I mean, he was on his way there, but he wasn't there. I mean, you know, you think a few years later of really the Cerebral Assassin, and yeah, he just wasn't there. But
well, and I encourage, you know, I think I've talked about it before, the Wrestling Isn't Wrestling, the kind of Max Landis video where he goes through Triple H's kind of history and like him evolving his character from like this stuck up, like Northeastern, you know, Hunter Hearst to, you know, the D-Generation X to the guy that couldn't overcome corporate to becoming corporate. Like, you know, when you look at the character arc of him, like, yeah, it's really, really good. And so, you know, something to be said for that as well too. And yeah, I think The Rock, I think he's made a couple movies here and there. I don't know. I haven't really watched, you know, the Walmart bin movies sometimes, you know, but I think they're a little better than that. But, so you got
biggest,
all this good
biggest
stuff.
Biggest star in Hollywood, probably. I mean, it's just insane to think about, man.
Yeah, right, exactly. So when you got Batista calling him for acting tips, like, yeah, you know, you've made it. So what do you got? PWI, we've been adding this to the show recently. Hunter, this year, 1998, and this is about halfway through the year. He was 24.
I was going to guess 12th.
All right, so Hunter was 24. Where would you put The Rock?
7.
11, but close. So, so Hunter, I like a little higher than I would have expected, but I get it too. And so, you know, having that, he was out a little bit. So I guess that kind of makes sense. But so the PW torch on this one, you've got the semifinal match at SummerSlam. The ladder match was voted best match of the night. The 26-minute ladder match. Saw Rocky Maivia and Hunter Hearst Helmsley further establish themselves as pay-per-view men event caliber stars for the WWF. Very good match, not at the level of Shawn Michaels versus Razor, but that is almost an impossible standard to hold anyone to 4 stars. And one of the other, like, kind of right, it's Helmsley and Rock turned in the best match of the night, but it would hardly make anyone forget Shawn Michaels's latter performances.
Can't touch it. I mean, nope. neither of those guys physically are able to do what Shawn did. That's just a fact.
And so you've got Helmsley. And so this, again, coming from the Observer, Helmsley sold his knee, which had an MRI done on earlier in the week, but not as much as you'd think. There was nothing spectacular along the lines or spectacular along with lines of the Shawn Michaels ladder bumps that WWF ladder matches are famous for. But this was the match that stole the show. Some of the spots where the guys climbing ladders was way too slow, but other than that, the effort was tremendous. Even though he was the heel, you could really sense Maivia had totally won the crowd over as being a great performer with this match. 4.25 stars. So you've got 4 stars, you've got 4.25 stars. I don't, and I know a lot of times we do disagree with these. I'll start it off here. I don't disagree with any of this.
Zero.
I agree. I think that the bar, especially at this point, was just way too high with Michaels and Razor. And I know it, like, even like that match, like what it was in the time, I think at the time I gave it not a bad payoff score, but I think it was like a 7 or an 8 or something like that. Probably an 8, but this is one where it's just kind of like, again, I think comparing it to that's almost not fair. And I do think the match at some spots, it was just kind of, I don't know if I was expecting more or whatever it might have been. I'm going to give it like a 6.5. It might seem low, but that's just what I'm going to go with. Because I think it's just like maybe I think it was because I was expecting a little bit more, maybe. But you got to put yourself, and I've said this before, you got to put yourself in the time when this was happening. And this was at the time, though, like a big deal, because like you said, there just hadn't been a whole lot of ladder matches, you know, some dark ones maybe, or, you know, things like that. But on the big show, this was one of the first ones we were getting again since the Michaels Razor matches. So 6.5.
Man, thoughts? Now you got me thinking about it.
Proving that Tom and I don't discuss this beforehand. Yeah.
I was gonna, I'll stand with what I said. I'm going to give it a 7. The match is solid, but not spectacular. I'd say where I gravitate a little higher than you, and where I give it a 7 is crowd went nuts at the end. They were in the Triple H. You had the DX thing. You had the Nation thing. You had two of the all-time greats just about to be in the main event. So I'm looking at it, I guess, more historical and everything around the match. But yeah, I agree. The match was 4.75 out of somewhere in that range. But yeah, really, really good overall. And hey, you know what? I mean, second biggest show of the year, and it was by far the best match on the card. So
yeah, absolutely. So
that's all I got, dude.
Good stuff. Yeah. As always, like, you know, like we say at the start, at Payoff Pod, you guys know where to find us, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. So make sure to check us out on all that good stuff. Tom and I as well, too, we're out there doing our thing. So Tom, you got a good one to send us home with this week?
I don't. Do you?
Okay. Thanks for letting me know. I don't. I can't say I've got anything good right now.
Yeah, there you go.
It's so terrible. I know. We did such a good show. We used all of our energy in proving that, like, all of our factual information was correct, that we wasted all of our brain power in, you know, taking that time for our listeners.
Well, let me tell you this. We're going to continue on the road to SummerSlam with another really good one next week. I'm looking forward to it. So thanks as always for joining us on The Payoff.